of my message, I know we're talking about the resurrection. The title of my message is, The Resurrection Doesn't Comfort Us, It Confronts Us. It doesn't comfort us, it confronts us. Most people have the idea of the resurrection, but the implications of it, we don't have. We don't understand that we're celebrating an empty tomb. We sing about victory, we talk about hope, about Jesus, but here's the thing, right? If Jesus really rose from the dead, then it really demands something from us. And I want us to think about that. The resurrection is not just comforting, it's confronting. And when I say this, I want us to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ confronts our sin. He died for a reason, for our sin. The resurrection of Jesus confronts not only our sin, but it confronts our direction. Because of our sin, we were going where? To hell. Amen? We were going to hell because of our sin. So the resurrection confronts that. And also, it confronts our, not just direction, but our excuses. What do you mean, Pastor? If Jesus got up, then we can't stay the same. If we truly believe in Jesus, then something has to change, right? Within us. Jesus didn't just die because we're good people. Amen. He died because we have sin, because our direction was hell, and we had no purpose in life. Amen. And praise the Lord, he was able to defeat death and the penalty of sin. That's the amazing thing about the resurrection, the power and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only did he rise up from the dead, but he gives us the power to rise up from our old man, old woman, not age, but I'm talking about the past life. Some of us in our past lives, we're not going the right direction. We were living in sin. We made excuses for why we did things. We justified it. Can I tell you something? The resurrection stops all that. Amen? And not only that, but it helps us overcome all of that. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you. The resurrection confronts your sin. Listen, here's the truth of the matter, right? You and I are not okay. You and not and I are not okay because we're born with a sinful nature. Here, Peter, and this is the first point. Okay, thank you, man. That looked really fancy. Amen. I got confused. Amen. Here in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter is talking to the Jewish congregation, the children of Israel, okay? The Israelites. But this is in the New Testament. And Peter's telling them, it says, therefore, what's another word for therefore? For this reason. Therefore. Therefore, let us all, the house of who? Israel. Know assuredly. You can confirm this, okay? All of you Texans, you can confirm this, all right? The house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have what? Both Lord and Christ. Who crucified him? We did. Continue, next verse. Now, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their hearts. You know, this morning, some of you need to be pricked in your heart. This morning, some of you need to be convicted of your sin. Amen. You need to be convicted of why Jesus went to the cross to die for your sin that you can't overcome. You need to get pricked in the heart. Because we think it's okay. The resurrection is comforting. No, it's confronting your sin. The reason why Jesus went to the cross is because of your sin and my sin. It might not be the same sin, and some of you might not have that many sins, but he died for your sin. Now, you know what your sin is. I don't need to know. I'm not God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of us would stop being in existence if I was God. Amen. Just being honest. Amen. But look what it says. And said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I want you to understand, Peter didn't say, hey, you're doing your best. Is that what he's saying? He didn't say, look at the people and say, hey, it's okay. Try harder. This is what he said. You crucified him. You crucified him. Pastor, are you saying you crucified him? I crucified him. Because of my sins, he died. I embrace that. If you can't embrace that, you're probably not saved. I'm not God and I don't know your relationship, but you need to understand, if you don't get pricked in your heart and have a conviction that the reason Jesus died on the cross is because of your sin, however big, however little you might think or try to justify it, it's not a mistake he died. We don't die for mistakes. It's a deadly serious sin that he died for. Your sin. My sin. The world's sin. And Peter here is telling them, you crucified him. And the resurrection exposes this reality. Jesus didn't just die because life is hard. He died because sin is real. We live in a culture that says, hey, you're enough. Follow your heart. You're not that bad. Can I tell you what the empty tomb screams? Sin is so serious that it took death of the Son of God to deal with it. That's how serious your sin is. This morning, that's how serious my sin is. Some of you get offended so easily. Stop being sensitive. Okay? I'm not going to call you snowflakes, amen? Because I really don't know. I'm from the South, amen? I don't know about flakes. But I know cornflakes. That's about it. Here's the thing. We need to stop being offended. Amen? The truth is going to offend. And if your heart's not getting pricked, and you're like, oh, he's condemning me. My friend, we're saved. We don't get condemned. We get convicted. Conviction is good. Conviction says, hey, there's something wrong. I need to correct it. Amen? Condemnation means there's no hope. You're dead. You're going to get stoned to death. You're dead. That's condemnation. Don't condemn me, my friends. I'm not condemning anybody. It's your choice. But I need you to understand that the resurrection confronts our sin. This is what Peter's trying to tell them. Sin is so serious that it took the death of the Son of God to deal with it. The people who were pricked in their heart, that just means conviction, but it doesn't mean comfort. Conviction. If you've never been convicted about your sin, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You've never really encountered Jesus. You don't know him. You know religion. You know of him. You don't know him. Yeah. Conviction is different. Stop excusing what God calls sin. Stop. Stop comparing yourself to others to feel better. Know Jesus. You don't need self-improvement, my friends. You know what you need? Repentance of your sin. I want you to understand that if you listen, you don't crucify the Son of God over something minor. The cross is a proof that we're not okay. The reason Jesus had to die on the cross and on Mount Golgotha is because sin is serious. It's deadly. We're not good people. We're people in need of saving. Follow me? And I'm not trying to blast us. I include myself. I don't separate myself. Believe me, the gospel is all inclusive. Amen? We're all sinners. Amen. And some of you can be saved by grace. Some of you don't understand. It's not religion. It's not a prayer that saves you. Jesus saves you. Prayer didn't die on the cross for your sins. It's not the Bible that saves you. I know it sounds heretic. It's Jesus who died on the cross, not these pages of ink. A person, the Son of God, died for you because of your sin. Amen? You're not saved because of the Bible. You're saved because of the Son of God. You say, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because I need us to understand we live like we're unsaved, man. Imagine in a courtroom, you're guilty beyond question. The evidence is there. There's no doubt about it. The verdict is said, I'm sorry. And instead of denying the guilt, guess what happens? Imagine. Someone steps forward and says, I'll take their sentence. I'll take their sentence. I'll take their penalty. I mean, that sounds merciful, but then when you start thinking about it a little bit more deeper, right? You start thinking about, man, if the penalty is severe as execution, think about it this way, right? Then my crime must be serious. Think about it. It has to equate, right? A life for your crime. This is the consequence. Kill you. It's not because we make mistakes. It's because we have sin. And sin is deadly. Amen? I hope this makes sense. Nobody volunteers, so you can understand, for execution over something small. Oh, you didn't pay your tickets? You're going to die. Amen? No. I'll take that. Over tickets? I'll do it. Man, you must be smoking something or eating bad pepperoni. I'm not going to die for that. Amen? For unpaid tickets? Man, get a job, get some character, and go pay your tickets. Amen? Here, we'll put you on a payment plan. Jesus didn't die for your tickets. Jesus didn't die for your justified acts or behavior or what you think. Jesus died because of your sins. Something deadly that will send you to hell, that you're condemned for eternity. Are you still with me? Say amen. Jesus didn't go to the cross for mistakes. He didn't die for good people trying their best. None of us are good. We're sinners. He died because sin is serious and it's deadly. And I'm going to tell you this. If you and I understand this truth, then we understand that it had to take the cross to pay for our sins. If sin is deadly, then what was supposed to happen? What was the only acceptable payment for death? Death. A life for a life. A life for a life. It wasn't something minor. It wasn't a mistake. Amen? It was something serious. If you're still with me, say amen. Second point I'd like to share with you. I'm doing a good job. Amen. Oh, amen. I mean, on time, not the preaching, okay? I'm not that arrogant, folks. You got to kind of give me a benefit of the doubt, okay? When I say things like that, you might not understand it. Sometimes I told somebody, one time I told somebody, I'm good. You know what they told me? Yeah, I know you're good. That's why I hired you. I'm like, no, man. Like, in the hood, we say I'm good because I'm fine. I understand. But people literally take me like, well, say what you mean. Okay, I'm okay. So please give me the benefit of the doubt. Amen. When I say things, just try to think, okay, pastor's not that arrogant. I'm really not. Amen. But, you know, amen. Here's the second point. The resurrection confronts our direction. The resurrection confronts your direction. The Bible says in Romans 6:4, and by the way, we use these verses so we can understand where this comes from. Therefore, we are buried with what? Come on now. With who? With him. Who's him? Jesus. He died, remember? By baptism into death. We obeyed. The same way Jesus obeyed unto death, right? Baptism is a representation. It symbolizes, hey, I surrender. I'm going to obey. When you and I get baptized, we're saying we know what Jesus did. We acknowledge the fact that he died for us. Spiritually speaking, we're surrendering our spiritual life. We're saying, I'm dying to the old man. Some of you, the old woman. That doesn't mean age. It's talking about your past, right? The past man that was unsaved. The past woman that was unsaved. Follow me? So we're saying we're going to bury that person. That's what it's saying. We're dying to that person. That like as Christ was what? Raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the what? In the newness of life. That's what baptism represents. It symbolizes, hey, Jesus had his glorified body, right? He had defeated sin. He had defeated death, the originator of life. Originator of life. That means he can give us the power spiritually to die to that old man, to die to that old woman, to die to our will, to die to our old desires, right? Unsaved, lost. And now we can walk up and rise up like Jesus did. Spiritually speaking, with new desires, We can rise up and walk with new will for our life, a new purpose. That's what it's talking about. But we do it with who? With Christ. That's the key. We don't do it with us. Why? We are what? Sinners. He is the Savior. We don't think the way we used to think. We don't say the things we used to say. We don't act the way we used to act when we were lost without Christ. Amen? I'll say amen. Amen. Thank you, Hermana Maria. My amen section. Amen. Here's the thing. The resurrection confronts our direction. You can't stay the same. Listen to me this morning. If you think you can get saved, if you think you can go to church, if you think all you need is read the Bible, if you think all you need is to tithe, listen, you'll stay the same. What you and I need is Jesus in our life. Not only as the Savior, but as the Lord of our life. And if you understand what the resurrection is, then you understand, I can't stay the same. Amen. You can't stay the same. Amen. Romans 6:4 is explaining that. Therefore, for this reason, are we buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of what? If Jesus came out of the grave, and you and I claim to know him, but our life hasn't changed, what do you think? Something's what? Something's wrong. Amen. Something's wrong. Listen, I'm not good at math. Okay, I'm not. But when it's like 1 + 1, and this is the way we've been taught, 1 + 1 = 2, it's the same way. Life, you reap what you sow. It's like gravity. It's the law. What goes up must come down. It's the law. Okay? So, you can't live ungodly. Right? Say you have belief in God, and then it'll equate a godly life. Don't expect that. Amen? Something's wrong. If you can't figure it out, something is wrong. Because the resurrection confronts our direction, my friends. The reason Jesus died, because our direction was wrong. We were going down to hell. We were going to split hell wide open if we didn't have Jesus in our life. Amen? That's the only way this works. You could say, I believe in Jesus. I know of Jesus. But it doesn't mean you've accepted him. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. The resurrection is not just something to believe in. It's something to live. It says, walk in the newness of life. You know what that means? Walk in the new desires that God is giving you. Amen? Men, when you used to ogle and look at other women that were not your wives, Pastor, you're just... No, I'm telling you the Bible. Amen? Guess what? Have pure thoughts. Amen? Have pure thoughts, good thoughts. Stop doing that. The things you used to do, guess what? Don't do them anymore. Amen? Amen? Ladies, the things you used to think about, because, you know, I don't know what y'all look at, but the things y'all used to think about, stop thinking about them. Amen? Think about the new thoughts that God is giving you, the ones that will bring down the imaginations of that old life. He actually gives you power to cast down those bad imaginations, ladies. Oh, you saw her over there, and you saw this. Oh, I don't care what the pastor says. Listen, it's okay if you don't care what the pastor says. Honestly, it's okay. But do care about what the Bible says. Amen? Do care about what the Bible says. Because the Bible here is talking about the resurrection. It's not just something that we believe in. It's something we live. We walk in the newness of life. New direction, new decisions, not perfection, but real change. Real change. The problem, it doesn't work for some of you because you've been playing religion. Stop. You know too much. Amen. You know too much. It's kind of like these people that know everything and they realize in life they know nothing because everything around them is just falling apart. Don't ever get to that place where you're so caught up in what you know. You know nothing. The same way as pastor, I know nothing. I have to depend on Jesus to be the husband my wife needs me to be. Amen? I need to depend on Jesus to be the father that God is depending me to be for those kids. I need to depend on Jesus to be the pastor that you need me to be. You don't need a pastor that's just going to comfort you, my friends. You need a pastor that's going to preach the word of God. And that way you get that pricked in your heart. You get that conviction in your heart because it's the truth, not the pastor. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that brings newness, not comfort of religion. That's not Christianity. You know, some of us have the Savior without surrender. What do you mean, Pastor? He's not the Lord of your life. He's just the Savior of your soul. Some of us have forgiveness without change or transformation. What does that mean? Oh, I received mercy, but I'm not willing to forgive anybody else. You know how I know this? Me too! We're on the same boat. We're sinners. Amen? We're sinners. Can you embrace that? Some of you do too well embracing sin. I'm saying, can you embrace the thought of we're not perfect, but change needs to take place? Yes? Change needs to take place. And we're not here to judge. We're here just to recognize and remind change needs to take place. You say, Pastor, well, I'm going to heaven. Well, here's the thing. You're going to heaven, but without holiness. You're going to heaven and living like the devil. Amen. Some of us will be saved by what the Bible says? Fire. As a fire? Or how does that go? What is it? As of by fire? Hey, guess what? You'll have a home in heaven, but you're going to be homeless in heaven. Amen. You did the right thing. You accepted Jesus, but you didn't live for him. Don't worry, Pastor. Got you. Amen. I'll got you. Amen. Hopefully I can remember who you are. Here's the truth. I'm sorry. Amen. At least you'll be in heaven. But as far as your works, what are you doing for God? What are you accomplishing here? Are you living a holy life? Are you living a separated life? Can people say, hey, he truly believes in Jesus, or he just talks about Jesus? Hey, she truly believes in Jesus, but she doesn't act like she lives for Jesus. Can you imagine a pastor? Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you a simple illustration. But if you know that your pastor goes around town writing bouncy checks, rubbery checks, am I living for Jesus? Okay, how? Okay, hold on, Miss Shantae. Amen. Hold on. But it's true. It's true. How does that look like to you? How does that look like to you? Now, again, I don't know about your life, okay? I'm just using an illustration. I'm just trying to keep it simple. Pastor's not that smart, so I'm just trying to base off of things like that, okay? But let me ask you, if I in my dealings were to write a lot of bouncy checks, rubbery checks, and I have the reputation precedes me that this man, you cannot trust him writing his checks, how am I not living for God? Quick discussion question, might not be a good question, but how am I not living for God? Quick. Whoa, that kind of hurts. Amen. Stealing, being deceptive. Amen. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't hurt. Amen. We're good. We're good. I'm using this illustration, but we're good. Go ahead. I'm stealing. Okay. I'm being deceptive. That's two commandments right there. Come on. Give me something else. How am I not living for Christ? Huh? I'm being a hypocrite. Wow, Michelle. Appreciate it. Amen. Let me know how you feel. Amen. No, I do want to know, because here's the truth. That is not living for Christ. I'm calling myself a changed man. You're like, you're a pastor, so that's going to go like way over here, right? Like double honor. I'm like, okay. You're right. I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor, right? And I'm not living for Christ when I'm being deceptive or taking advantage of people or being a hypocrite. This is what I want you to understand. Ditto. You might not be writing checks, but apply it to your own sin now. If your direction is going south of the border, amen, amen, not to Mexico, but I'm saying the destination Hades, hell, then you need to understand that that behavior needs to change. You can't say you know Jesus and live like the devil. You can't say I'm going to heaven, but you have no holiness. You can't. It doesn't coincide. It doesn't come together. It contrasts. It's like oil and water. Here's the thing, too, what we're going to find out. It doesn't only hurt you. Think about it. As a pastor, I'm just saying, as a pastor, who would it hurt? See, and I appreciate that. That's honest truth. But you know what I'm thinking about? The little ones. Because I used to be a little one without hope. I know how that feels, man. And I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to tell you parents right now. As God, so help me God, I'm not going to do anything to hurt these kids. And as a pastor or in my personal life, I'm not. But I will tell you this. You need to be very careful to think about what you're doing as a believer of Christ. Because that influence and that impact that you can have on these little ones, Bryce is a little one to me, amen, but he's an old man, amen. But he's a little one to me, not literally, amen. I'm talking about age. I'm talking about age, brother. And thank you, D'Artagnan. But to me, I don't want to do anything that would harm, D'Artagnan or Bryce. And it's not because I'm trying to please them. I still want to have that impact in their life. When they need me, I'll be here. If you need love, I'll be here. Let's take it a step further. What about that next generation of young ones? Oh, we love our pastor. Oh, our pastor has Easter egg hunts. Oh, our pastor brings us up here and get money. Oh, our pastor steals. Right? Our pastor he's a liar. Our pastor is fake. What do you think he's going to do to them? You know what they're going to do? They're going to compare and put in their mindset. It's going to be set, their worldview of church. Deceptive, hypocritical thieves. Here's the truth. Some of you already have that mindset. But you know what? You can't use an excuse. Use the word of God and understand that that's what the resurrection does. It confronts our sin and it confronts the direction we're going. Get it right. Amen? Let's get it right. How many times I've been let down in my life? I will tell you something. It feels lonely at times. But I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to blame the church people. I'm not going to blame my dad. I'm not going to blame the past. I'm not going to blame my hood. I'm not going to blame my mom. All I can blame is myself. Circumstances don't determine where I'm going. I choose where I'm going. So should you. You choose. But pastor, it's so boring. Yeah, this is how winning feels like. You're welcome. It's not problem free, but you win in life. Amen? You win at life. Do you think I don't want to be? Well, I don't. I really don't. Amen. I don't want to get headaches and wake up every morning in the front of the porcelain toilet there. Amen. Throne. I don't want to be that person. Amen. I know the party life. I don't want that. But here's the thing. Some of us think that's the life. Freedom. Freedom. From what? What are you talking about? Grow up. Amen? Grow up. You know where your freedom is? In those little ones. That's where your freedom is. You know where your freedom is? In the peace and the confines of your home with your loved one. He said, well, that's too boring. Listen, make up your mind, please. Decide what you want, man. But don't be this. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Don't be this. Exactly what y'all were telling me, if I'm writing checks, and they're rubber, and they're bouncing all over the place. It's the same thing I'm trying to explain to you. Some of us live that way. We don't live holy. Here's the third point. I don't know why God wanted me to stay there for a minute. I was supposed to be done with that already. The resurrection confronts your response. The resurrection confronts your response. I guess I had an illustration here. Imagine if you're driving late at night. The GPS tries to recalculate your direction. I'm using the illustration for second point. I'll come back to third point. Leave it there. But you decide, and I decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to still keep going my way. 10 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles. You continue going down the wrong direction. I'm pretty sure many of us are going to be frustrated. Many of us are not going to get to our destination. And guess what? Many of us are still going to be off the target. Follow me? It's the same way with God. The same way. You and I cannot go the wrong direction and expect to have good results, the right results. Get off that stinking wrong direction. Recalculate to the GPS. What is it? God's positioning service. Amen. The Bible. Get into that and see where you're at. Do your behavior, does your thoughts, does your lifestyle, does your words align with the GPS? If they don't, what should we do? Turn around. Reroute. Turn around. That's what this does. You must decide. Listen, the resurrection confronts our sin. The resurrection confronts our direction. You can't stay the same. You got to turn around. Here's the third point. The resurrection confronts your response. Look what Acts 17:30 says. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. In other words, God turned an eye because you were ignorant. I was ignorant. I didn't know better. I didn't know right from wrong. Follow me? But now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Now this is Paul on Mars Hill. He's over there at the city hall, and he's having a discussion and an argument, whatnot, debating with these men. And there is a statue there with a subscription, the unknown God. And he's trying to tell them, hey, let me tell you about the unknown God that you have right there. You don't know who he is. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's a creator. He's this and that. So now he goes on and transitions here. And he's saying, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. Listen, God turned a blind eye because some of you didn't know. It's kind of like you were looking for the unknown God. You were pretty close. It's almost like this, like you're trying to find, excuse me, you're trying to find where the light switch is. You're like, oh, the unknown God. It's somewhere here. And God would blink because you're close, but you know, you just have religion. You have superstition. You have man's tradition. You know the Bible, you know of God, but it's not there. He's saying now God's commanding, hey, you better get with the program. Repent. Get to know him. Thank you, sir. And then that's what God does in our life, by the way. He turns it on. He turns it on. This little light of mine has not burned out. I'm not going to say I've never got depressed. I'm not going to say I've never got discouraged. I'm not going to say I haven't dealt with my trauma growing up without a father. I'm not going to say that. What I am going to say is, though, this little light of mine, God's helped me. Man, he's ignited that light, man. He's ignited that flame. And I would not ever, by God's grace, go back to that. Ever. You know why? Because I know what it did to not only my family and I, but the surrounding areas. They're all like that. I'm never going to go to that. Why would I offer my kids who I love that? I want you to understand that resurrection confronts your response. You and I must decide. Go to the next verse. Because he hath appointed a day. What's that day? Every one of us are going to die. Amen. We're going to be judged. In which he will judge the world. Amen. It's right here. Just read the Bible. Ezekiel. All right. The world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who is the ordained man? Who is the chosen man? Who is the one that God's picked? I love the Bible. On that day, we're going to be judged by God based off of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, his resurrection and what he's done for us, we should have a response. It pushes us to make a response. God doesn't suggest repentance. He commands it. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ will judge, and he's coming. His judgment is coming. And what is required of us is a decision. Your response, what will you choose? Will you reject Jesus and face judgment? I hope not. Will you stay neutral? I hope not. There are only two responses to resurrection, my friends. Repent, follow Christ. What does that mean? Simple. God, I've been doing it this way. I'm going to stop doing it this way, right? So I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Now I'm going to start living for you. Now I'm going to start living as unto the Lord. I'm going to live my life to please God. That's what repentance is. I'm going to replace what I'm doing wrong with right. If you have a problem with lying, stop lying. Right? Replace it with what? Truth. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to tell the truth. If you have a problem with I don't know. You get it. Amen. I'm not real good at these things. Amen. But you understand, right? Do you understand? That's what it requires. Or, here's the only other option, I guess, reject him. And then face judgment. You can't leave this truth sitting in your mind. You must answer, what am I going to do with Jesus? Not, what does my family believe? What does my church believe? Listen, this is Victory Baptist Church. I'm not trying to be offensive. I know sometimes I'm not the wisest or most tactful person, but so what? Who cares what Victory Baptist Church believes? What does God say? What does God believe? Amen? And I'm not, I know some of you are going to take it like to an extreme. Yeah, pastor says, so what? So I'm going to go live for the world. No. I'm not saying that. What I am trying to tell you is stop living for other people. Start living to please God. We don't think, what did I grow up around? Or no, the question is, have I accepted Jesus Christ? Have I repented and trusted in him? Period. Have I just trusted in him? The resurrection is not just a celebration. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a confrontation of what? Our sin, our direction, and our response. Will you respond or will you make an excuse? I'm going to leave you with this. Can you imagine a deadly disease? I still have time. Amen. Can you imagine a deadly disease is spreading that you've been diagnosed with? No doubt it's going to kill you. But the doctor walks in and says, hey, we have the cure. All you have to do is take it and you will live. Now, here's the thing, the moment of truth, okay? Here's the thing, the catch. You don't get credit. You don't get credit for agreeing to the cure exists. You don't understand how it works. We're not going to talk about it with others. But if you don't take it, you're going to die anyways. He said, pastor, what are you trying to say? The resurrection is God saying, here's the cure. My son is the cure. My son. Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered death. But the victory, it's not enough. The victory must be received. Will you receive him? That's the cure. It's not just acknowledging Jesus died. Will you receive Jesus? You can't believe. You can believe the facts. I can believe the facts. We can have respect for Jesus. We can even attend church every Sunday. But if we never respond, if we never choose, if we never trust, guess what? You've made your choice. If you don't receive, that means you've rejected. You don't reject Jesus only by saying no. You reject Jesus by doing nothing at all. If this is convicting you, or if it's pricking your heart, listen, what I would do, I'm not trying to shake anyone's faith. I would make sure that I am saved. I'm not the type of pastor that wants to create doubt. But my friends, look at your life, understand where you're going, and if there's any doubt, take care of it today. That's what the resurrection is about. It's not about comfort. It's about confronting the truth, confronting the fact that we have sin, confronting the fact that we're going the wrong direction, and confronting the fact that we can't make excuses. We have to choose. Bow your head, close your eyes. Maybe God spoke to your heart. I'm not sure. But here's the opportunity right now, sir, ma'am, that we have to choose to get over ourselves. We have to choose to get over our embarrassment of maybe going to the front, or get over the embarrassment of what would people say, or maybe get over the thought of, well, I've done it before. It doesn't work. Your doubt. I don't know. I will tell you this. Jesus died on the cross because your sin and my sin are serious, deadly reasons. You know what sin does? It destroys families. You know what sin does? It destroys marriages. You say, I don't care about family or marriage. Okay, you know what it does? It destroys your health. Sin destroys your finances. You know what it does? It destroys your future. Oh, I don't care about none of that. Okay, it destroys your loved ones. So then what resurrection does, it confronts the wrong direction that you're going. My friends, if you're going down the wrong place and you see everything falling apart, turn around. Repent. Go back to Jesus. Turn around. Repent. Don't be so stubborn. Don't be a knucklehead. Like, Pastor, 7 years of my life, the most miserable person in the world from 14 to 21, because I was saved and doing wrong, and I knew it. And I don't know, by the grace of God, he let me live through a lot. Those were the times I was held at gunpoint. That didn't scare me. I got robbed. It didn't scare me. Got beat up. But God is so merciful and so good that he gave me a chance. And at 21, I was able to turn my life around. And I can only speak of my experience, but I hope it connects with some of you. Listen, it wasn't until I said, God, I surrender all. I see that I'm breaking my mama's heart. That's what it took to turn me around. Some of you, you have a pastor that's begging you, please, just turn around. Listen, forget your pastor. You have a God who sent his son to die for your sin because it was so serious that he doesn't want you to go the wrong direction. All you have to do is respond. As the piano plays, the altar is open. How many of you here this morning can say, Pastor, I know if I died right now, I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting in Jesus. Can you raise your hand? Good. Put your hands down. Some of you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to heaven if I die today, but I would like to know. I would like to know how I can go to heaven. And my friend, can I tell you something, sir? Can I tell you something, ma'am? This is the place where we will cheer for you. We won't judge you. We'll embrace you. Your pastor's not about judging, man. I'm about preaching the word of God, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is. I'm not here to preach my opinion. I'm just here to preach truth. You might say, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven. But I would like to be. If that's you, my friends, raise your hand. We'd like to show you in the word of God how you can know for sure. Is there anyone in here? We have great soul winners. We have people that can show you through his word how you can be saved. Anyone? Just raise your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. It's okay. Come with somebody that's not, so you won't come by yourself. Is there anybody in here that can say, Pastor, I'm getting convicted. God's moving my heart. Then don't hesitate. Anyone that would say, Pastor, if I died right now, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I would like to. I see one hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? It's not worth it to walk out these doors without knowing for sure. We don't know what might happen. Anyone? Brother Jeremiah, if you can get somebody to talk to her or talk to her dad. We can have somebody talk to her. Anyone else? Maybe you say, Pastor, I just don't feel comfortable right now. Okay, whenever you do, listen, just ask. We're here. We're available. We're here to help. It's not a burden, okay? We actually want you to know for sure. That's all. That's it. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'll be honest with you. I know there's some things in my life I need to change, some sin in my life that I need to change. Is that you? Can you raise your hand this morning? I'm gonna raise my hand because there's sin in my life. I need to change. Good. Hands are going up. Praise the Lord. Hands are going up. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you. Amen. Maybe you might say, Pastor, there's sin in my life, but also I know it might not be sinful. In my life right now, I'm just going the wrong direction. I'm not doing anything sinful, but I'm doing things that it seems like I'm weighing my family down, or I'm doing things that are bringing my family down. If that's you, can you raise your hand? Okay, amen. I'm raising my hand too. You say, Pastor, you bring your family down? Yeah, I'm stubborn. I'm proud. Now, pride is sin, but there are some things that I make decisions, and it's not sinful. It's just foolish. I invest my time in nothing sinful, but maybe reading literature when I need to be reading the Bible, or trying to do something else besides spending time with my wife. I'm talking about we're going the wrong direction. Maybe it might not be that you're not saved, or maybe it might not be the sin or the direction, but maybe you're saying, Pastor, I just need to be the type of person that makes a choice. Can you pray for me? If that's you, can you raise your hand? Amen. Good. I see your hand. Amen. Anyone else? We need to be people to make the right choices, folks. That's what life is. It's a series of choices. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection of your son. We might think, oh, this comforts us. We're going to heaven. But it's not just about that. The truth is that it confronts our sin. It confronts our wrong direction. And it confronts our inability to make a choice. Or, for some of us, a justification of why not to make a choice. Here's the truth, God. Your word is pure. Your word is true. And all I want to do is obey your word. And I want our church people to be blessed by obeying your word and have true power of God in their life, a godliness that only comes by obeying your word. I pray for those that probably struggled with making a salvation decision, Lord, that you would keep them safe, keep them out of harm's way. Lord, please put your hedge of protection about them. I know you said in your word you don't want to see anyone lost. I know that you're long-suffering because you don't want anyone to perish, any to perish. I know that. So I'm just asking you for a special blessing and hedge of protection about these folks that either don't know they want to be saved, or they want to be saved, or it's just not possible. But